New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Welcome back to hour number two right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. As we continue to guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio, remember to listen to the show on the go. You can just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. Okay, so we're going to talk some MLB here in hour number two. We've invited back, always open invitation for our very own from YSR, and that is Andy Pondillo. Good evening, Andy. It's nice to have you with us on this Friday night.
Always excited, and definitely been an interesting baseball season thus far.
It has been very interesting, kind of disappointing, I think that would be my descriptor, especially with the Astros. What in the world is going on with them? This 4-5 start. I'm sorry, Andy, but my expectations are higher.
Well, we're definitely a lot higher here in Houston at this point because of the offense, the veteran leadership that's been assembled on this team. But you can look at it really two ways at 4-5. You can look at it that, yes, it's 4-5 start. The offense has struggled mightily. They're at the bottom of the league in almost every offensive category. But yet, they're still only 4-5 because there's a lot of teams out there that are pulling 3-6. They've won two games. They went 0-5 to start the year. There's been, you know, a good amount of teams struggling, and a lot of those teams were organizations that expected to be champions this year of their division. So while it looks bad, the pitching, the defense has been spectacular, and that's why they're not really under that eight ball right now as they face the Angels.
Okay, so you talk about the defense, the pitching, that's been the bright spot. But this was, and Andy, we talked about this many times on the show, one of the better offensive teams. I mean, you got guys like Chris Carter. He hit 37 home runs last year. George Springer, he had 20 home runs in 2014. John Singleton, Jose Altuve. Come on, what's going on?
A lot of strikeout hitters, and they're going to struggle. But what I didn't expect would happen with this team is I figured that if you put enough good hitters in one lineup, they all wouldn't struggle together. There would be, I think at every single period of time, there would be a guy that just can't figure it out. Because power hitters, they're the streakiest hitters in all Major League Baseball, unless you're Mike Trout, Albert Pujols with the Angels. These guys are a little more consistent, but they also get paid a different value than what a lot of these guys with the Astros get paid. A lot of great hitters in this lineup. It was very odd to see them all just plummet right off the bat. Literally everyone was just about ice cold as soon as the season started. Now it's starting to come up a little bit. Gattis has had some great swings. Jed Lowry's been leading this team offensively. Jake Mariznick in the 9-hole has had some good swings. So you're starting to see them turn a corner a little bit in terms of hits. They haven't always been able to put runs together. They've had games where they've had 8-10 hits and then haven't been able to score runs. So it comes down to batting with runners in scoring positions. It comes down to strikeouts. So they've had their issues at the plate. I tend to weigh a little optimistically right now that they're starting to get out of it. Not completely. They aren't going to go bash 15 runs in, I don't think, anytime soon. However, you're starting to see those signs. Chris Carter would probably be the concerning one, in my opinion. Last season and the season before, he had a lot of troubles in the first half. And you just can't have a guy that only hits for one half of a season.
Andy, you've been covering baseball for many, many years. So how long does it typically take for, when you're going through a funk like this, to get into rhythm, to get into sync?
That's the tough part to figure out, because when you get into a funk, it's a lot harder to get out of it. Once you're in it, you can be in it for an entire season. We've seen guys that just completely fall off the map for 600 straight at-bats for whatever reason. They just can't figure it out.
Wow.
And when you get into that slump, it becomes more and more difficult. It gets into your head. I feel like we see that with some of the Astros hitters right now. It's starting to get in their head a little bit. They're swinging at pitches they shouldn't be swinging at. They're taking pitches they shouldn't be taking. They're fouling hittable pitches off. And a lot of it has to do with guess pitch sometimes, trying to get that fastball out in front. They're getting pitched backwards. Chris Carter, he's been swinging through some fastballs. It's very simple stuff I feel like they're not achieving right now. They're going to strike out a lot. A lot of people are going to point to these heavy strikeout numbers. That's not going to stop. But it doesn't mean they can't put the ball on the bat when there's a runner at third and less than two outs. Move the runners a little better. I believe they're going to. There is a few concerning points right now on this team. We said the offense was going to be good. It's going to get better, but what level of good is it? Is it just a little better than average in the league? Is it top three in the league? Mm-hmm. They're going to be top three in home runs no matter what, my opinion, but does that create enough runs to make them a great offensive team? That's going to be a big question this year.
And did you think they need to demonstrate more patience at the plate?
I think their patience has been fine. At times, I think they've been too patient. They're looking at pitches that are very hittable. They're taking fastballs early in the count. And that's a sabermetric way to play baseball. They tell you, see pitches, see pitches, see pitches. Work the pitchers. Mm-hmm. Work those starting pitchers. Wait till you find one to hit. But the problem is they've been facing tough pitching between Cleveland and Oakland. These guys, they throw strikes. And when you get strikes, you're going to have to swing early in the count. You may not want to. You may not want to take that first pitch fastball and pop it up to center field. But sometimes you've just got to take a chance and take the first one you see, swing, hit, see fastball, hit fastball. I feel like sometimes it's been getting too much in their head toward trying to work these counts, and they're not scoring runs because of that. Guys like a George Springer, I want to see him hacking at the first fastball he gets. Altuve, I want to see him aggressive hacking at those first fastballs. There's times and places probably not to do that. However, I don't think seeing pitches has quite been the problem for the team. With the amount of strikeouts they have, they've definitely seen a lot of pitches. They're just not making good contact right now.
Our very own Andy Pondillo is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Would love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports, and you can always go to our podcast page at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. And, of course, our AP, he's everywhere. So tell the listeners, Andy, where they can check you out and connect.
Well, you can check me out, ClimbingTallisHill.com. We just posted a new podcast, Astro Chat. And, you know, I've definitely been at a few games now, been in the clubhouse, talked to AJ Hinch. So trying to give you the vibe of what's going on over there and give a different perspective each week.
Okay, so we were talking about Chris Carter, and then obviously he has struggled mightily out of the gates. John Singleton, he's tearing up AAA.
Yeah, he's tearing up AAA, and it's going to be a question that's going to be posed soon. I think it's too early to overreact. It's a 162-game season. You got to be careful. But this is a trend people have seen in Chris Carter, and you didn't want to see this. He's the guy you did not want to see come out swinging ice cold, because we've seen this story play out two straight years. John Singleton, he's the first baseman of the future. Let's make no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is. The Astros are going to give him every opportunity to succeed in the major leagues. And right now, he has no position to play in. That's first base. It's taken up by Chris Carter. Chris Carter is a guy that teams covet and trade, because there's a lot of teams that don't hit for power like the Astros do. You have to feel that if Singleton continues his trend, Mariznick's out in center, so that's going to be another position that you can't move Carter to the outfield, because you have an outfield clogged right now. You can't move him to DH. Gattis is at DH. Carter would have nowhere to go if they want to bring Singleton up, so that would lead to a possible trade. And that's something that a lot of people thought may have happened during the offseason. It didn't happen because they weren't confident in Singleton's abilities yet.
Okay, our very own Andy Pondillo with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Let's talk some about pitching really quick. You think Keuchel, I know you're not being a homer, are you? Do you think he could win the Cy Young?
I think he's a Cy Young caliber pitcher. And right now,
really? Tell me why.
Because we think, talk Cy Young, it's not just throwing quality innings, but it's getting deep into games. It's logging 7-8 innings per game. This guy's so economical with his pitches. He's not going out there trying to strike everybody out. He knows how to pitch to each batter's weaknesses, and he takes advantage of it. His execution on location, it looks even better than last year through two starts. Now, I'm trying not to overreact, because, you know, things can always find a middle ground. But you talk to scouts, you talk to people around baseball, they say that Keuchel, it wasn't a one-year wonder. They say people don't realize how good this guy is. His control from last year to this year at times has been Greg Maddux-like, and it's very exciting for Astros fans. Between him and Colin McHugh, it's absolutely amazing what Jeff Luhnow has been able to put together at the top of the rotation, because this is the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the pitching. These are not supposed to be the guys at the top of the rotation, and they're performing like staff aces. This bodes very well for the Astros in the future.
Okay, Elissa Walker-Campbell, along with you right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue going around the horn with our very own Andy Pondillo. And after the commercial break, we'll be talking about the AL Central. The Tigers, they are 8-1. Much more straight ahead right here at YSR. Okay, welcome back to hour number two right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to hear from you. Join us online at Twitter at eRadio Sports. Always got to give a plug for our podcast page. It's amazing. YahooSportsRadio.com/podcast. Right now, as I said, we were going around the horn visiting with Andy Pondillo, talking some MLB. But I have to tell you what, Andy P, this is a big weekend if you're an NBA fan. I mean, Joe, my producer here, he loves the Bulls. Of course, I love the Mavs. Who you got?
It's very easy for me. Come on, the NBA has gotten so basic lately. It's the same thing with the NFL. You already know who's going to be there at the end of the season. Come on, it's going to be Spurs and Cavs. It's not rocket science. The Spurs, they're hot. And they always say they're old. They come down the stretch. They beat everybody up. LeBron's a one-man wrecking crew in the East. It's just if you have LeBron, you win. So I feel like it should be an easy finals this year.
That's one of the things I just love about Andy. He always brings those strong opinions to the table. Okay, so let's move ahead. Let's talk about the AL Central and the Tigers, the Royals. You know, when we did our preseason preview in spring training, I don't think that we anticipated that these teams would be that good.
Well, they have a lot of veteran leadership, but I didn't expect them to get off starts like this. And they're going to level out. Every team at some point is going to level off unless they're going to be a 100-win team. And I definitely don't think either of these two teams are winning 100 games this year. However, the veteran leadership on these teams is strong. Miguel Cabrera for the Tigers bashing balls in with the Royals. They have a lineup full of guys that didn't really hit a lot of home runs last year, but they've been very productive. Sandoval Perez has been very productive at the catcher position. I've reaped a lot of benefits on my fantasy team from him, and they've really had a good steady order over there. Ventura, the new ace after James Shields leaves. They still have some depth to that pitching staff. I don't know. I still like the Indians in that division, but it's really a tough division to call because each team has their strengths and their weaknesses. Right now, the Tigers, one of their big weaknesses last year was they didn't hit as well as they should have. And when you look at their lineup, you kind of wonder, how did this team not hit? And so far, they definitely have. J.D. Martinez, the former Astro, you know, hitting for a lot of power over there. It's got to be a great slot to bat in, to bat behind Victor Martinez and Miguel Cabrera.
And I think you'll agree, too. I mean, you see teams go through stretches where they have this momentum. They're trending upward and in the right direction. And most teams are going to have runs like this at some point in the season.
They're all going to have runs like it. But when you have it at the beginning of the year, it's your only body of work. So it looks really, really good. It's like the guy that hits 500 for the first week of the season. It's his only body of work. You don't think of it as big of a deal when it's a 260 hitter who has a hot week. And okay, you know, he got hot. Will he continue to do it? You don't know. But when it starts the season, everybody gets excited over it. Everyone kind of, they either get too happy or too sad, depending on where your team is at. And the Tigers, their deal is they're going to have to get a better effort out of Justin Verlander this year when he comes off the disabled list. I don't like the depth in that starting rotation. The Tigers are the type of team that they aren't bad. They're the type of team that fizzles out towards the end of the season. The teams that don't have depth in the starting rotation, they have a lot of trouble getting through August and September.
Okay, so Andy, we highlight the Tigers, the Royals, off to this fast start. What teams have surprised you that have underachieved early on?
Oh, the Miami Marlins, they've struggled. Washington Nationals have struggled. These teams definitely with some really high hopes coming into this season. Miami, they really haven't had a whole lot of offense. Giancarlo Stanton been off to kind of a sluggish start. People starting to wonder, he got hit in the face last year. Is that something that's going to creep into his head? You have to be human. I think the human thing is, yes, it's hard to come back from the type of injury he sustained last year. I think he'll overcome it. It's a mental thing. You just need a few good hits, need a few good games. You get past it. I still like the Marlins lineup. As for the Nationals, I'm a bit more concerned about that team, not just by the 3-6 start, but I'm just concerned in general because I feel like the expectations are so heavy on this team that can only lead to disappointment. That doesn't mean they're not a postseason team. I think they get in through a wild card position. I don't think they're the best team in the National League again this year. And I really get concerned when you have injuries all over the field that just, they don't stop for the Nationals. As soon as one guy comes back, another one goes down. You don't have that consistent lineup. You don't have that consistent continuity. It's not the same as maybe basketball, but it does have an important feature to a lineup to have that continuity in it. And I don't think the Nationals ever have that. Their starting rotation is going to keep them in every single game. It should, at least, with the Max Scherzer, Jordan Zimmermann, Steven Strasburg. But even these guys probably haven't pitched their best off the start of the season as well as a lot of people would have thought they have.
Well, and Andy, I think the media, we're guilty of that. We've portrayed the Nationals to be better. Their stock is higher than we are realizing.
Yeah, they spend a lot of money. Anytime a team spends a buttload of money, people are going to predict them to win their division. And for a good reason. I mean, the Nationals, on paper, if this team were to stay healthy and everyone were to be in there, Anthony Rendon, I think the best young player in the National League, if he comes back, he has a great year. He bangs out 40 doubles. I mean, this team could be as good as any team out there. It's just you get to a point where I get tired of predicting them to go far because I just don't trust that they can stay healthy. Ryan Zimmermann over at first base with the conversion. He's had a sluggish start as well. This lineup has as much depth as any lineup. Bryce Harper, can he have 600 at-bats, knock in those 30 home runs like a lot of people think he can, be a 30-30 guy, still a buttload of bases, win a gold glove. I don't know. Like, they all look good on paper, but it's always on paper for the Nationals.
Okay, Andy Pondillo with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue to zero. Okay, so we got to talk about Atlanta, 6-3. Is this team a bit of a mirage?
Yeah, that team's a mirage. They're going to lose over 90 games this year. I have absolutely no faith in the Braves being able to win games this year. No depth at the starting rotation. They trade away the best closer in baseball. The whole lineup's been traded away. Freddie Freeman, I mean, he's going to probably have to go nuts to make that lineup even be relevant. So I don't have any hope for the Braves to continue this run.
Oh, I definitely got to ask you about the Rangers. What can you tell us? What's going on up in Arlington, up in Dallas?
Oh, something's in the water for the Rangers the last 2 years, and nobody can stay healthy. I don't know what's going on with that team, but I know if they can't get healthy, they're going to lose a lot of games. Derek Holland on the 60-day disabled list. Yu Darvish out for the year. This pitching staff has gotten ultra-thin very quickly. Shin-Soo Chu came away with an injury. I think he's back in the lineup now. The Rangers are, I don't know, they're a beaten-down bunch. I don't know what the plan is for the future. Jerkson Profar, another one out for the season. It's going to be a long season in Texas, and at least the fans, I feel like the media kind of expects it. I don't know if there's high expectations in Texas. It's just hard for them to transition from those golden years that seem just like it was yesterday.
Good stuff. Coming to you from Andy Pondillo, our very own at Yahoo Sports Radio. Thank you so much, Andy. Great stuff.
Always fun.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter, at eRadioSports. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, and I am so ready for the NBA playoffs to get underway this weekend. But right now, we're going to focus our attention on some college football news and notes, specifically out of the Big 12 Conference and the Oklahoma Sooners. Of course, OU returned to action last Saturday for their annual spring game. They had a nice crowd on hand, over 42,000, to get a sneak peek at the 2015 Sooners. So anxious to get the takeaways from our next guest, and that, of course, he is absolutely one of my favorites. That is James Hale from OU Insider and 1400 KREF. He is a legend in the state of Oklahoma. Good evening, James.
Oh, E, that's very nice of you to say, and, you know, I appreciate that, And the only good thing, bad thing about being on radio, it's a hot day, and I get to see you in that sundress. So that's the only bad thing about doing the show with you on radio.
So what are you singing, James? You miss me?
I miss you. I mean, and every time you come into town with that beautiful smile, and then what's cool about it, your husband hit a home run when he got you to say yes, because, hey, you guys can talk baseball, football, and you can hang in the right with him and his buddies, so that's really cool.
That is. Okay, so James Hale, of course, is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. And so let's get your takeaways from the spring game. And first, at the forefront of my mind, is the quarterback position. What did you learn from this year's spring game?
Well, everybody came out of the spring game. I think some people were disappointed in how the quarterbacks played. They did throw four interceptions, and they forced throws into coverage on those picks, and I was more impressed that the DBs have progressed enough that they actually made plays on plays they can make, which they didn't do last year at all. I mean, they could have stopped a number of drives last year if they could have just caught the ball. This year, they did make those catches, and I was more impressed about that. Baker Mayfield still finished 10 out of 13 for 128 yards or something like that, and had a pretty good day. 10 out of 13, we'll take it. Especially when you find out that he hasn't made those mistakes in any practices this year. He's been good with the football. He hasn't forced the football downfield. I thought Trevor was okay. Trevor was like 7 for 13. Cody Thomas had similar stats. Justice Hanson, their rookie quarterback, their freshman, Richard freshman, was 5 for 5, and I thought actually looked the second best behind Baker. Now, they're going to say coming out of spring that it's still a four-quarterback race and that the summer – they're going to go through the summer and training camp. In reality, in my opinion, you know, I think Baker Mayfield is winning the job. I think Justin Hanson showed them that he's good enough. He's come along far enough that he wants to be a real contender for at least a backup. And we'll see what they do in the future. I think Trevor's really getting pushed for that starting job now. And I'd say I know they're going to say that they don't have a starter after today. Today's the final. If after Thursday's practice, you know, but I think when they get into it, that they'll really break it down, and I think Mayfield will be the leader coming out of the spring.
James Hale with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, you can check out his work at OUinsider.com and also KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. Tell me a little bit about, you're talking about the numbers. I mean, Baker Mayfield, 10 for 13 for 176 yards, a touchdown. He did have two interceptions. What can you share about his background?
Well, you know, he had a great year at Tech his freshman year. He walks on, he wins the job. He gets hurt, they replace him, he wins the job back. And he won a lot of football games for Tech. He was the Big 12 Freshman Player of the Year. Why Texas Tech didn't try to keep him and didn't scholarship him and didn't act like they really wanted him on the team is a mystery to me. He's really good. He's talented, and he's really smart. He's improved his strength, and he's a better athlete today than he was when he first came into the program. He's quick with reads. He's quick with getting the ball out of his hands, control every pass. He's a really good team leader. The team really rallies around him. You know, he hasn't been named the starting quarterback, but last year when he walked on and he had to sit out basically because of NCAA rules, on his own dime, he traveled to every single road game. And that was, you know, that was also to West Virginia. I mean, no matter where they went, he went. And that included Texas Tech, where he, you know, he got a lot of abuse from the fans and things last year. So he's a team leader. The team really believes in him, and I think it's becoming his team. Now, Trevor's still in this race, and Trevor still can win this race, but all sides are pointing to Trevor, I mean, to Baker Mayfield actually winning it, and, you know, we'll see what happens in the summer and what happens in training camp.
Okay, so, James, we're looking at, what, four quarterbacks. You got Baker Mayfield, you got Trevor Knight, and I just think back to the days of Landry Jones. It just seems like there's been a lot of inconsistency in terms of, you know, this turnover, this churning of, you know, all these different quarterbacks. When is Oklahoma going to settle in on one quarterback? How can we make that happen?
They have to do it. They have to do it. You can't rep four quarterbacks. And that's why I'm surprised they haven't named at least two. You know, or they didn't name at least two during the spring. You know, I thought midway through we would hear, okay, these two guys have kind of separated themselves. Bob doesn't like to do that. You know, Bob has always tried to keep competition going in the spring and in the summer and in training camp. And that's what he wants to do again. But once they get to training camp, either they have to go with two quarterbacks. And then about 2 weeks later, they've got to name one because that guy has to start getting the reps. And so they can tell us they've got four going, but I think in reality, it's a Mayfield night battle with Hanson trying to make a charge, and I think that's how they're going to go into the summer.
Okay, you're listening to James Hale right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, our go-to guy when we have got to talk Sooner Athletics. Give me the skinny on OU's new offensive coordinator, Lincoln Riley. What has he shown you?
Well, because you're a pretty girl, you're going to like him. All the pretty girls in my life. You know, so he's a handsome guy, I guess, but he's happily married. He's got a little girl, and, you know, and he's a real bright guy, energetic guy. He's young, and he acts young. He's got a lot of energy. He's, you know, he's all over the place in recruiting, and that what I mean by that is if another coach needs him to call, he's right on it. He's got his offense. He's very confident in his offense. It's going to be the Howl Mummy, Mike Leach offense with more of a running emphasis with it. Tempo is the name of the game. He wants to get plays off in 10 to 12 to 13 seconds. He's got systems in place to get receivers on the field, running backs on the field if a play goes downfield. And he's really confident that he can move the ball against anybody. By his own admission, even though he had good players at East Carolina and a great run at East Carolina, he's never had the talent to work with either at Texas Tech or East Carolina that he has at Oklahoma. So I think he's licking his chops. He's saying, if I could move the ball at those two spots, and hey, they have good players there, but it's, you know, you don't have a Samaje Perine at your disposal here, or a D.D. Westbrook, or a Sterling Shepard, and he's licking his chops to see what he can do with this offense in a real game.
Okay, I think the Sooners are licking their chops on Jeffrey Meade. I mean, he had a breakout game, didn't he, in that OU white scrimmage? And what is this true? I mean, he's 6'6"?
Yeah. They got real tall receivers. I mean, Mark Andrews is 6'5", Meade is 6'6". Dallas Todd is 6'4". I mean, that's some of the guys that they have. Carson Myers, 6'7". They've got tackles that are 6'9". I know, they look like a basketball team more than a football team, but, you know, Jeffrey Meade had a great spring game, and Jeffrey was a three-sport star at Union High School and one of the best players in the state. And the thinking is that he would take off once he started concentrating on one sport. And last year he came into training camp. He earned the first wide receiver off the bench, played in the first two games, and then all of a sudden we didn't see him the rest of the year. I'm not sure why Coach Norvell at that time decided not to play him, but he went in a different direction. Well, here's Meade, and he got it started off early in camp where he dropped a few passes, but he got better and better, and Saturday he had a chance to really show his ability, and he's a real, real talented athlete, and he could have scholarshiped in three different sports, and he's just going to get better and better as they keep going along.
Outstanding. James Hale has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, and James, let's stay in touch and talk to you here in the next couple of weeks, okay?
Look forward to it, E. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend. Much more tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. As always, stay close and join us online at E Radio Sports. We will be right back with much, much more. Elissa Walker Campbell, I want to welcome you back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. Well, here at YSR, it is a very big weekend as we look forward to the start of the NBA playoffs. We've been talking about it for the past 2 hours. However, in our final segment tonight, we're going to focus our attention on the wonderful game of golf, and we're going to celebrate and recognize one of the top junior golfers here in the state of Texas and nationally. This young man recently participated in the Drive, Chip, and Putt Championships at Augusta National, and it's such a pleasure to introduce tonight TK Schultz. He is 14 years old. He is from Belverde, Texas, and for our national audience, that is just outside San Antonio. Thank you for joining us tonight, TK.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Well, TK, I'm sure you'll agree that we're all still kind of catching our breath after so many magical moments from the Masters last weekend. I mean, a 21-year-old golfer in Jordan Spieth who wins the green jacket. What was your thoughts and your takeaways? Because I would assume as a young golfer, an up-and-comer, you had to be energized by watching him play.
I was so excited for him. I'm so happy that a Texan got to participate in the Masters and even win it. And I hear he's such a nice person. And I've gone and watched him at the Valero many times, and he's a very nice gentleman. And I'm very happy for him.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that as I was saying, as a young player, you got to be so motivated by watching Spieth. I mean, win the Masters, only 21, and it really is a testament to that hard work pays off. And I know spending time around your parents, I mean, you work so hard. You're very, very focused at 14 at taking your game to the next level. That's got to inspire you.
It does, and it shows what hard work does for a person, and it's a true testament to that. And I'm so excited for him. And I know he's worked hard all his life and gone through the Texas all the Texas tournaments. And it really shows how hard work pays off for people.
Absolutely, and a proud Texan. Everyone is celebrating the big win for Jordan Spieth. Hey, TK Schultz is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You better write down his name because he is one of the top junior golfers nationally. He just participated in the Drive, Chip, and Putt contest, and we're going to recap that memorable experience. It was awesome. We all watched it on the Golf Channel, and we're looking forward to talking about that. But I want to ask you this, TK. I mean, there's just this new era that has taken place in golf. I mean, here you were just sharing about Jordan Spieth. It's really energized your game. You got Rory McIlroy. He won his first major championship title at the age of 22. I mean, it really does. I mean, it's got to give you the confidence, I would say, and just that belief that these guys are making their dreams a reality even at a young age. You don't have to wait till you're in your mid-30s. You can make it happen in the 20s, right?
It does, and it really makes me want to work harder and every day and just do my best, and it really gives me a lot of motivation seeing these guys being so successful,
mm-hmm.
Especially coming from this area and from pretty much anywhere at such a young age. So it really gives me a lot of motivation to work hard and to go out there every day and try my hardest and do my best.
You bet. Tell us, who's your favorite golfer and why?
My favorite golfer is Ernie Els because he's a nice person and he tries to raise money for kids with autism.
Yes. Have you had the chance to meet Ernie yet?
I've seen him play many times. I have not met him personally, but I have seen him play many times.
Wow. Well, tonight, of course, we've invited you on to share about your recent excursion to Augusta, Georgia to participate in the Drive, Chip, and Putt Championships. Give us kind of the backstory on that. How did you qualify for Drive, Chip, and Putt?
Well, I went through the locals here, and I got second place here at the locals and in San Antonio, and then I moved to Houston for the sub-regional, and I won that with a score of 146.
Wow.
And it was obviously all the qualifiers are very hard, and sometimes it's your day and sometimes it's not, and it was my day that day, and I said I went up to Plano, Texas for my regional, and I won with 160 points, and that was my road to Augusta.
Wow. You know, TK, here in the state of Texas, there's some great junior golfers, and one thing that is definitely evident in your game is that you show consistency, and in all three of the skills, you're talking the drive, chip, the putting. How do you do that? How do you have so much consistency within the game of golf?
Well, I just try and work at everything equally. I try and pay attention to every aspect of my game. I try and put in the work in all aspects, so I try and be as consistent as I can.
Yes, and you are definitely very, very dedicated. So let's move ahead. Let's talk about Easter Sunday. You guys load up. You go to Augusta, Georgia. What was it like to compete in the Drive, Chip, and Putt Championships?
It was beyond belief being on the hallowed grounds at Augusta. It was just truly unbelievable experience. I loved it so much. It was the most beautiful place I've ever been to. It was such an honor to be able to even walk the grounds and especially to play there. And it was beyond belief. Words can't describe how beautiful it is there. And it's just beyond what anyone could ever imagine.
TK, I have to tell you, watching you on national television, I mean, all the Campbell family, we had tears in our eyes watching you just because of just the incredible poise that you showed. I mean, you had an opportunity to be playing there at Augusta, but you didn't seem nervous at all. You just went up there and executed. You did a great job.
Well, everyone is nervous, but I do my best to control my nerves. And I think that I did a fairly good job of doing that then. I just try my hardest to control them and just do what I've been practicing and working on.
So how did you prepare? How did you practice and get ready for the drive chip putt?
Well, I did pretty much all the practices for the qualifiers as I did for the national finals. I just work on all three aspects every day before, and I focused all my attention on driving, chipping, and putting. And I worked hard at it, and I tried to focus on all three aspects because I know that they're all equally important.
You bet. Hey, you're listening to the voice of one of the top junior golfers, TK Schultz. We're talking about the drive, chip, putt contest that he participated in Augusta, Georgia. So as you were talking about just the course, it's so incredible. Hallowed grounds. I mean, what was the highlight for you from this incredible and memorable experience?
The highlight for me, there were so many highlights. It was just so beautiful. But I'd say that the main highlight was probably making the 15-foot putt on the 18th green of Augusta. That was just the one thing that I really wanted to do so bad, and I made it, and it was just truly unbelievable experience, and it was amazing.
Oh, and how fast were those greens?
I estimated it at a stimp 13 to 13 and a half, which is tournament speed, and it's extremely fast. It's like putting on a pool table.
Oh, wow. And it really was the who's who. I mean, who were some of the celebrities and personalities that you had the chance to meet while you were there, TK?
I got to meet Brent Snedeker, I got to meet Condoleezza Rice and Chairman Billy Payne, very nice people, and I got to meet I got to meet very, very great players, and I saw Bubba Watson there. So, so many great people were there and to cheer us on and to watch on for us.
And you talk about cheering you on. You had a bit of an entourage. I mean, Mom, Dad were there. Tell us who was all in your group that went to support you, TK.
Oh, we had lots of people. We had I had my parents, both sets of grandparents, and a few friends of ours came to watch, and just so many supporters in the crowd as well.
Oh, that's great. And we definitely want to give a shout-out and credit to your amazing coach. Share a little bit about him and his background, because it's impressive.
His name is Tim Hobby, and he played at the 1990 Masters as a 1989 Public Links champion. He also shared some insight on what I would be seeing at the course and how I should react to it, and speeds of the greens and breaks and such. And he's a very good player, and he's a good man.
Oh, that's great. Well, is this your biggest? Would you say? I mean, you've accomplished a lot, but is this your biggest golf accomplishment so far?
I would say that's definitely my biggest golf accomplishment, and to play at Augusta for the Drive, Chip, and Putt National Finals was definitely my best accomplishment as a junior golfer.
Well, congratulations. I also want to share with the listeners tonight, I mean, you're very well-rounded. You're a first-degree black belt. How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing Taekwondo for 6 years now, and it also helps me round my game and be physically in shape for the game of golf.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, TK Schultz has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And also, I did want to share with the listeners that you are raising money for the Wounded Warrior Project. Can you share about that?
Yes, ma'am. I'm raising money for the Wounded Warrior Project in honor of my two cousins who died fighting for their country. Mm. I'm doing it through Birdies for Charity, Leadership Links, through AJGA, and I'm raising money for the Wounded Warrior Project and just to help our soldiers and all of our veterans.
Very well said. Hey, TK Schultz has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, and I'm telling you, keep an eye on this young man, one of the top junior golfers, not just here in the state of Texas, but nationally, and was an outstanding participant in the Drive, Chip, and Putt contest. And it's going to be a memorable experience that you will never forget. Send our best to your parents, and thank you so much, TK. We will see you real soon.
Thank you.
That, of course, was TK Schultz, one of the top junior golfers and participants in the Drive, Chip, and Putt contest. We want to thank all of our amazing guests over the past 2 hours. James Hale with OU Insider and KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. Charlton Jimerson, former Major League outfielder, who joined us in studio. Rodney Fisher from RF Sports out of Dallas. And Jason Gotch, our very own from YSR. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports. Right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.